Right, I've been told to record this, so I'm sorry that I'm now mic'd up. This feels a bit weird. Good. Well, I think I'm aware, actually, before I just get into what I've prepared, that there's so many things that one could say about this subject, isn't there? I've picked some particular verses and some well-known verses on love. But just before I talk about them, I want to just point you to the end of the handout where I've put some other Bible passages on love, which I think it would be great to meditate on in the weeks and months ahead. So 1 Corinthians 13, classic passage, often read at weddings, but actually about the church. Not that it's bad to have at weddings, but it's actually about loving within the church. Passages in Ephesians, Colossians, and Jesus' own teaching there. So I'd encourage you, I won't say everything there is to say about loving one another in this talk, but so do look up those passages and be continuing to think about these things after tonight. Good, I think I'm on. So we've thought about why we'll need to specially love each other over the months ahead, and I'm sure we mentioned some reasons, and I'm sure there's many more. Now we're going to think about what this love is to look like. What kind of love is God calling us to? So let's read our verses again from 1 John. So he says, in this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. These are great verses that tell us what Christian love is. They tell us about the love that's going to get us through this time, I think. And surprise, surprise, God shows us how to love. Look with me at verse 10. In this is love. So here's the definition. Not that we have loved God, so we don't have the answer, but that he loved us. We find out how to love others by looking at God's love for us. And then verse 11, if God so loved us, so if God loved us like this, we also ought to love one another. So we're to look at God's love for us to find out how to love one another. We're to learn to love like God. His love is true love. So we're going to think, what is God's love? What is true love like? And we're going to think about three aspects, which I put on the sheet. So true love takes the initiative. True love loves God's people. True love makes the sacrifice. And actually, I think these three, as I've been preparing, I feel like these three things are intimately connected, actually. And I've really had quite a lot of trouble separating them out. But I think we'll benefit from thinking about each in turn. So, first of all, thinking about true love takes the initiative. So, true love reaches out to others before they reach out to us. True love doesn't wait to be loved. It gets on and loves. Look down to verse 10 with me again. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son. So God didn't wait for us to love him. He would have been waiting a long time, wouldn't he? He took the initiative to love us first. And he did something. He sent his son for us before we even had thoughts of loving him. Now, aren't you glad he did that? So if we're to love one another Christianly with God's love, we'll take the initiative. We'll reach out to others with love rather than waiting for them to love us first. This is God's love. This is Christian love. True love takes the initiative. In my extended family, so some of you might be aware, I have lots of cousins and aunts. Some people are Christians, some are not. And lots of people love one another well, I think. But sometimes certain people don't feel so loved. So they feel a bit isolated and on the edge of the family. And occasionally that's me. But I think I've started to notice a pattern. It's often, not always, but often, the people who are most passive in relationships, who feel least loved. Whereas those who take the initiative to invite and include others feel part of things. And I've noticed that it's when I'm making least effort to connect with my family that I feel most isolated from them. And if you think about it, it's really normal in the world out there, isn't it, to love people who have already shown they love you. It's a lot less normal to take the initiative and choose to love people. Jesus says it in Luke 6, doesn't he? He says, if you love those who love you, what benefit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. It's not distinctively Christian to love people who already love you. It is distinctively Christian to make the first move to love someone who doesn't currently love you. Now, I can hear an objection in my head. I've been feeling this as I prepare. I hear some maybe thinking, but Fiona, you don't understand, I'm shy. It's hard for me to initiate with people. And I hear you. God has made us different, with different personalities and different struggles. And some of us will find this harder than others. But you know what? I've hardly met anyone who finds it easy. I think there are a few people to whom this comes naturally. So take my aunt, for instance. Quite a few of you met her at the weekend. Now, why did so many of you meet her? Well, it's because she totally loves talking to people that she's never met before. And she just goes up to them and talks to them really easily. But for most of us, this does not come naturally. It certainly doesn't to me. But we're told in God's words, aren't we, that he can change us. We can overcome things that we find hard in God's strength and with his transforming power at work in our lives. And do you know what? I see women in this church cooperating with God for him to do that in them. I see shy women reaching out to others. I see women risking rejection and going for it. So why not pray for God to give you the power to initiate love and then step out in faith and obedience? Maybe you've got a good friend who's moving to the Greenwich Church and you're not sure who you're going to be friends with now here at the Barge. Maybe you're going to Greenwich and you're hoping you'll make new friends there. Maybe you just feel a bit unloved in church and you're not sure what to do about it. Can I encourage us, whoever we are, to take the initiative to love our sisters? Let's not wait to be loved. Let's love. This is how God loves, and it's how he's designed true love to work. If we wait for our sisters in Christ to love us before we love them, I can guarantee we'll be disappointed. Like God would have been if he'd waited for us to love him. But look at the promise of verse 12. If we love one another, God abides in us and his love is perfected in us. Initiating love does lead to knowing God's love in a deeper and more perfect way. True love takes the initiative. So my second point, true love loves God's people. True love loves God's people. And this is the one I'm going to spend most time on. Now, that may seem like quite an obvious thing to say. True love loves God's people. Of course. But what I think it actually means, and where I think the shallowness of our love is exposed, is this. True love means I choose to love you, and you choose to love me, not because there's anything intrinsically lovable in either of us, but just because God has put us together in his family, in this place, whether here or in Greenwich. I'll say that again. True love means I choose to love you and you choose to love me, not because there's anything intrinsically lovable in either of us, but just because God has put us together in his family, in this place. Look at verse 10 with me. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us. Who is the us here? Well, in 1 John, it's not everyone in the world, Christian or not. In 1 John, it means us Christians, us believers. In 1 John, us believers are continually contrasted with the people out there in the world. So the us is us believers. And the point is, God loved every person who would believe in Christ. Not the ones who are particularly lovable or who had something in them that would draw him to them. No, all believers. Verse 11, beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. And indeed, in 1 John, loving others just because God has put you together in his family with them is one of the evidences that you're a true believer in Christ. Verse 19 of the same chapter says, we love because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God and hates his brother, he's a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. Love for others in God's family is one of the marks of the true Christian. True love loves God's people, and it's the love we need to get us through this time. Can I say straight away that I know this is not easy? Let's be honest. There are some women in this church, and in Greenwich, that you and I will be drawn to and click with more easily, and others whom we'll find it much harder to love. And who those people are will be different, unique for each of us. Let's be even more honest. There will be some women that we actually don't like very much. Does it shock you that I say that? But it's true, isn't it? The Lord in his wisdom has drawn together here a family of believers, many of whom would not spend time together if they were not part of the same church and they weren't Christians. And that is true across the world in every church family that exists and has ever existed. Now, some would spend time together even if they weren't Christian. And praise God for those easier friendships that happen more kind of naturally, as it were. They're a gift from God. But it may surprise you to know that when I came to the Barge, I prayed for God to give me one friend. Just one. You see, one day, quite a long time ago, a preacher taught me from God's word that church is not primarily a friendship group of people who particularly click with each other, but a family who are committed to each other, to loving each other, whether they click or not. And that transformed my view of church, actually. Now, actually, here at the Barge, I think the Lord has blessed me with more than one friend. I feel very thankful. So don't hear me wrong on this. I'm not knocking friendships. The good gift of friendship is a brilliant thing, and God gives us it. But it doesn't take away from God's desire that we choose to love all of his people. So we choose to have family love for all of his people, just because they're in his family with us here, whether we feel they're actually friends or not. So as I look around the room just now, we're all sisters here together, part of God's family here at the Barge at the moment, whether we consider ourselves friends or not. And can I say, sisters, that I see this kind of love being given by many of you already. I do. And I want to commend and encourage you in it. Please keep going. Please do it more and more. I see those risks that you've taken to reach out to women you wouldn't naturally be drawn to. And I see the effort it takes and the time. The dinner invitations, coffee invitations, the party invitations, the walking across the bars to say hello, the crossing of cultural divides to reach out to each other. I see it more than you may realise, although I'm sure I don't see all of it by any means. And more importantly, God sees it. And he wants you to keep going. Keep loving his family like he does, rather than loving like the world does. And he will reward you. He will extend his love more and more to you as you love others in his family. So do be encouraged that you're right to be showing family love, and do keep going. But what other implications are there of this? Well, I've put three on the sheets. So first of all, there's no place for cliques in God's family. There's no place for cliques in God's family. And during this time of change, I think that will be a temptation. So where we have existing friendships, they will be important in helping to sustain us through this time, for sure. But if we turn in on ourselves and become completely focused on our existing friendships in church, we're not going to flourish either personally or as churches, so as here at the Barge or in Greenwich. We're going to need to look outwards and love all our sisters, all God's people. Secondly, please persist in loving those you find it particularly hard to love. Please persist in loving those you find it particularly hard to love. So if you're going to Greenwich, you're going to be meeting lots of new women. And I guarantee there'll be some of whom your first impression is not good. Maybe something rubs you up the wrong way that they say, or you don't like their attitude, or you have a difference of opinion about something in church, or the way they dress isn't like you, whatever it is. Go back, please, go back a second, a third, fourth time. Don't write them off and decide to shut off from them. Keep loving because they're in the family. And I think your experience of church will be transformed. Remember, you'll be having the same effect on other people without actually realizing it. And that helps to keep us loving, doesn't it? And the same is true here at the Barge, isn't it? So there are new women around, which is great. Indeed, some of us in this room are newer women. And there may be women who we've vaguely known for a while but haven't clicked with, or even women we have a negative history with. Can I say gently, let's go back to each other. Let's reach out to each other. Let's love the other person because they're in the family. And we'll experience God's love in a way we never have before. And the third implication I want to draw out is this. Start with those you're placed close to. Start with those you're placed close to. I think this call to love all God's people can feel a touch overwhelming. How can I love all of God's people, even in just my small church? There are so many of them. My life is so busy. It takes so much effort. It can feel just too much. And sadly, some give in to that feeling of being overwhelmed and don't love God's family. So they may still be part of the church, but essentially the drawbridge is pulled up and they only love their family or the people they're close to. And sisters, that temptation, I think at all times, and sorry, I think that temptation comes to us all at times, definitely comes to me at times. But the solution is to reach out in love to those we are placed particularly close to. So let's ask ourselves, who's in my growth group? Who's on a serving team I'm on? Maybe who lives near me? Which women in this church family has God placed me close to? Or in Greenwich, when you go to Greenwich. And I think if we all took a step to love even one of those women, wouldn't our churches be different places? God says they will be. So he says, if we love one another, God abides in us and his love is perfected in us. But true love doesn't just initiate and love God's people, because that's not all God did. And this last point will be shorter, don't worry. True love makes the sacrifice. True love makes the sacrifice. So true love is willing to sacrifice something of its own in order to love. And it makes that sacrifice. Look with me at verse 10 again. In this is love. Not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. Loving us cost God a lot. He turned his righteous anger about our sins onto his son so that we could be forgiven and in his family. That's what the word propitiation means, in case you're wondering. It cost God his only son to love us. Wow, that is sacrificial. That costs God a lot. And so our love is to be sacrificial too. It will cost us a lot to love like God, but true love makes the sacrifice. Why? Well, God did it for us, didn't he? He did it so that our sins could be dealt with and we could be part of his family. Why would we make the sacrifice to love a sister? Well, it's for her sake, isn't it? Not so that her sins could be forgiven. Only God's sacrifice does that. But so that she knows God's love all the more deeply. Look again at verse 12 with me. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us and his love is perfected in us. No one can really experience God's love fully on their own. Did you know that? We need each other as Christians to fully experience God's love. That's what the writer means by if we love one another, God abides in us and his love is perfected in us. We need the love of other Christians in order to fully experience God's love. So let's be willing to make the sacrifice so that a sister can experience God's love more fully. And why else would we make the sacrifice? Well, it's also because God has loved us like this. So look at verse 11 again. If God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. So God made the sacrifice for us, though we didn't deserve it, and we're to make the sacrifice, therefore, for others. And again, I want to say that I see many of you doing this already. So do keep at it. Do it more and more. It is worth it. And it could mean all sorts of different things in different situations, couldn't it? There's a myriad of things. It could mean making time for a sister who's having a difficult time when we're busy ourselves and something else in our life will have to not happen in order to give her that time. It could mean having a sister join us for dinner because she's feeling alone, although we'd rather have dinner on our own or with our family. It could mean babysitting so that a sister can get an evening out with her husband, when really we'd rather be having the evening out with them. Could mean forgiving a sister when we'd rather hold on to hurt and bitterness. It could be as simple as turning up to growth group or church or prayer supper, although we don't feel like it today, but just because we know it will encourage our sisters to see us there. There's a myriad of ways it could look. True love makes the sacrifice, knowing it's worth it for the other person's sake and knowing what God sacrificed for us. So as we approach this time of change in all our lives, what kind of love will get us through? Well, it'll be love that looks like God's love. Love that takes the initiative. Love that loves God's people. Love that makes the sacrifice. Sisters, as we experience this kind of love among us, true love, wonderfully our God promises we will know his love for us in Christ more completely, more perfectly. And that love will get us through this time. But please don't go home tonight feeling like others owe you this kind of love. That is not the route to experiencing it. No. Be a lover yourself. Obey our God. Keep obeying, whether others around you do or not. And our God will honour that, because he honours those who love like him. Remember Galatians in chapter 6, verse 9, it says, let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. And Jesus says in Luke 6, 35, love your enemies, do good and lend, expecting nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High. God sees and knows and rewards those who love like him. It may not be that every person we take the initiative with or choose to love just because God puts us with them, or love sacrificially, will love us back. In fact, I can guarantee that will not be the case every time. Sometimes our love will even be thrown back in our face. That's part of the cost, I think. But God guarantees that as we step out in love, to love the way he loves, he will see, he will know, and he will make sure we experience his love more deeply in our lives too. Maybe through other believers, maybe just directly from him. We will. And this will help to bring us through this time of change. Not just surviving, but more secure in him, more united, having more of a sense of his love for us. With scars, yes, just like our Saviour will have into eternity because of his great love for us. But knowing we're loved by God, and that like him, we're lovers of his family, whom he loved even to death. I'm praying that through this time of change we're coming into, we will all choose to love one another truly, like God does, and be blessed in doing so. Will you pray that with me? Let's pray. Our Father God, we're amazed when we look at how you loved us, even choosing to love us before we loved you, and sending your Son to die in our place for our sins. This is amazing love. And Father, we pray that as you have loved us, so we would love each other in your family. Please teach us more how to do this. Thank you that there are so many signs of this already in our church family. But Lord, we pray that we would do it more and more and keep going, knowing that it's worth it for the other people. And Lord, that you see and you will honour us. Please keep us going. In your love, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.